Welcome to the Bitcoin Consciousness Podcast. I have today here Lady Anarchy. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Yes, I've heard a couple of podcasts with you in the past. It's Starseed Showdown and also Mayrick's Dabbling Path. I heard that one, that interview.
Yeah.
And you have many interesting experiences and thoughts in this borderland between Bitcoin and consciousness. So it was an obvious choice to invite you here at some point.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited about it. I love these kinds of podcasts and definitely connecting kind of the Bitcoin and consciousness sphere. It comes naturally, you know?
Yeah, maybe you can expand on that already now. How does it come naturally for you?
Yeah, it's just that to me, Bitcoin always felt very energetic because it deals with energy, right? When humans transact anything, even just conversations, we're really just exchanging energy in different forms. So when we're talking about money, it's the same idea. And obviously, when we're talking about broken money, like fiat, where it's all manipulated and controlled, there's no free energy flow like there would be in a river, right? It's more like the river is filled with rocks and stones, and they keep throwing more rocks and stones on top of it, and the path keeps changing, and the water can't, it's harder for the water to find the path of least resistance. But with Bitcoin, because it's decentralized and not controlled by anybody and has all these, you know, sound money principles, it kind of flows on its own, right? Like we see the price kind of flow on its own. We see the way that it's developed flow. And I just see Bitcoin as a better energetic marker for people's talents, you know, services, products, whatever it is that they want to share with the world. I think Bitcoin is a better metric of energetic value between human beings. So that's why to me, it feels quite natural to connect the way that, I guess, like consciousness interacts with other consciousness, even though we're all one, in the same way that Bitcoin, you know, interacts with us on a kind of financial economic level.
Yeah, so it's like, from an engineering perspective, it's the flow is important, an unrestricted flow. And and like you mentioned, the fiat system is because of fear. It sets up trying to direct and control the flow constantly. And especially over a long time, these control measures just accumulate and completely breaks the flow of these whatever substance we are talking about, and in this case, then money.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's why we see so much, you know, so much, I guess, breaking in our economic principles, like, you know, houses costing like out of control, right? Because inflation follows that, like on an economic sense, it's inflation, but on an energetic sense, it's that there's no flow. So nothing in our economy knows what it's supposed to be worth, like, right? Because the market is this, like, in a way, like I've always seen it as an organism, right? Like Adam Smith talks about it as the invisible hand, but it's really an organism that takes in all of the different ideas and wants and fears of humans and kind of aggregates it. And then that aggregates sort of being, right, kind of moves back and forth once it gets into the flow, right? And then the market can actually direct people and control itself and have you know, like economic stops and price changes and kind of work with the way that humanity functions in trade. But until we get to that point, it's all jaggedy and all over the place. And so the market can't figure out what anything costs. And that's why we have such like ridiculous home prices and ridiculous food prices. And for some reason, you know, jobs that mean a lot to us and really keep the our civilization running, right? Like construction and sewage and maybe even like creative stuff like arts costs so little, or the people get so paid so little for it. But somebody who, I don't know, plays sports on TV, that doesn't really bring anything but entertainment to us, right? Doesn't really bring anything concrete and valuable to the way that our civilization functions. You know, those people get paid so much, or like politicians get paid so much, even though they're bringing no value to our society. So I think all of that is part of the kind of like the energetic flow of money and the energetic flow of the free market that unfortunately we don't have, because we don't have sound money, and because we have regulations and controllers over this entire like human trade experience.
Oh yeah, cool. It sounds also like you have been into, or you've been thinking about or researching energy flows, like maybe feng shui or energy body flows, chakras, things like that, on the more invisible realms.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely been into the esoteric and the energetic for a really long time, really since I was 15. But I kind of go through periods where I'm like really get like really deep into it, and some periods where it's kind of just like an afterthought. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to balance more in my life and really like integrate all of the knowledge that I've gained over the years into the actual like practice of it. Because I am very intellectual more than I am, I guess, like feeling. So something I'm learning more about right now is how to feel more and think less. But they're so intertwined, especially when you enter like the information field, like when you get information from the Akasha, right? It's kind of hard for me to decipher which one is like a feeling and which one is a thought. And so, you know, so that's something that I'm working on for myself spiritually right now.
Yeah, because flow is also a way of life, right?
Yeah, for
The
sure.
Wu Wei and so on. It's similar to the fiat system controlling all of these things. That's what we humans do also. We try to control things with our rational mind and have all these strategies how to live. But so for me, the last 4 or 5 years or so, it's been to align my whole life to be in flow all the time, to have a priority being flow, not instead of not creating a project or that sort of controlling, right? Like creating something from a rational idea, but instead having just lots of different possibilities and then see where the flow guides me in every moment. Is this
Yeah, that's really
something
nice.
you are working on also, or?
Yeah, definitely. I closed my Bitcoin company a little bit ago because I just felt that I was kind of done with it, and I was just feeling a little bit, I guess, energetically drained or just overwhelmed. So I'm kind of like going through a period of healing and also a period of changing and just kind of seeing and waiting where the next flow will guide me. Kind of like in an in-between place at the moment, but definitely still, you know, still excited to where it'll lead me. I kind of actually enjoy times of great change, but I also realize that it might have been a little bit heavy on me in the past. So kind of, you know, like navigating those life subtleties that I think when we're younger, we just like go ahead and don't stop, even though things are happening around us sometimes that we should really be paying attention to. And then all of a sudden, it all catching up to us at some point. So instead, like, I'm trying to be more mindful in the moment, and kind of like, you know, looking back and seeing all those things that happened to me from a different perspective, and then figuring out what's next.
Yeah, I think more and more of us are coming to that point. in different ways. It's connected with the rise in consciousness, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So we are sort of forced to raise our consciousness, and when we do that, we see life from a different perspective. And you know, to use control and to act in fear is, it's really not rational anymore. It's rational while we're in the old fiat system, but when our consciousness rises, it's like fear and control only make things worse, at least in the
Yeah.
long term.
Yeah, for sure.
And this also connects with Bitcoin and this free-flowing economy that you described in the beginning.
Yeah, it does, 'cause like the way so I guess it might be a little bit utopian, right? But I've never seen utopia as something that is a goal that must happen, but it's a vision that I still think that humanity should strive towards, right? Like we'll never reach utopia in a way, right? I don't want to like, get anybody scared that like that's exactly where we're going. But like you want to have that as a vision, as like on your dream board, right? Like you want to see that on your dream board so you have something to hope for and look forward to in the future. And so with Bitcoin, like there is that vision. And to me, the way that I see the vision is that because the money is no longer broken, because we don't have to deal with these types of boom and bust cycles, these overpaid for wars, these bankrupt governments that continuously take on debt to spend money. I don't even know on what. Like, I don't even know what they're doing. Viruses in China and fake UFOs and whatever else that they work on, right? If our money could finally go back to the people, then naturally, when people have more resources at their disposal or have resources that will that you can save over time, right? That will actually be there in the same or at least similar amount of value down the road, then all of a sudden, every human being has a little bit more room to breathe, a little bit more room to take days off of work, a little bit more room to imagine and wonder about what they actually want or what they're talented at or what their conscience or what their soul is telling them that is their path. Right. And once people are able to listen to that inner voice a little bit more and discover what they can really bring to the rest of humanity, what they want to share, what gifts they have, then all of a sudden they have more time and money, right? Because time and money equals freedom. They have more time and money to create the things that they're really good at or talented or passionate about. And the more people who do that, the more people that get to live the life that they want and do the things that they want and share those things with others, the more it opens, the kind of like the economic field for everybody else to do the same. And all of a sudden, like little by little, maybe 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, like we get to this place that is not necessarily utopia, right? But is a form of a society where people like children have time to get to know what it is that they want to do for the rest of their lives, or have the opportunity and the resources to be able to choose many different things that they're interested in, right? Like not all of us just want to be a scientist from the age of five and then we grow up to be a scientist and then we retire from our science career. Some people want to try many different things. And something like a currency like Bitcoin, a financial system based on a currency like Bitcoin, would give a lot more people a lot more opportunities to follow those dreams. And that benefits everybody, right? Like that, we get to that place where, hey, you want something really awesome done? Well, here's a person in your neighborhood that's actually really awesome at that one thing. And then you're also, gifting whatever it is that you're good at, that whatever makes you happy to other people. And it just it's I feel like that's part of that raised consciousness society that that we like as spiritualists talk about and that anarcho-capitalists talk about when they think about like a capitalist society that's run by anarchists where everybody's kind of doing their own thing, but we're doing it cohesively together because we have the tools to be able to do that. And Bitcoin's that tool.
It's the world that you're describing in a few hundred years. I actually see it already here today on Earth. So from my perspective, it depends on which consciousness we are in and which consciousness the parents are in. So like what you talk about the children and their opportunities, it basically depends on the consciousness level of the parents. And you have many of these communities around the world that are already living like that. So I think sometimes we are blinded by mass media. Even if we are like outside the system, we sort of still peek on the mass media a little bit, and we still think that that's sort of real. But it's not. It's like if we go out in the real world and we go to different communities, like healing centers, retreat centers, because the abundance comes from inside, right? So when we raise our consciousness, the abundance in the external world is just a mirror. So the external world is always just a mirror of the internal state. So when you meet people of higher consciousness, their external world is in abundance, similar to you describe. And people in lower consciousness don't know this because they sort of don't meet people like that. Because it's, like attracts like. And so what I've discovered since I surrendered is that I meet more and more and more people like this. And it's a big community, similar like the Bitcoin community, but a little bit different. And that's how I why I sort of placed myself between Bitcoin and this higher consciousness community, because we actually don't need Bitcoin, from my experience, to have an abundance life, because it's because of the connection with the limitless source inside, right? So you can also use fiat money. It doesn't matter, because the limitless source is inside of people. So people live there in abundance, and they have these lives. They're just imagining. They're living like they create their own life from their dream. They just imagine something and they co-create this. So I'm sort of coming into those communities and talking about Bitcoin there. And it's not so relevant for them, because they understand that abundance is inside. But my sort of point or angle is that if we use this tool, Bitcoin, then we can help us sort of unify, because now it's so splitted out, like the different frequency levels, and everyone is just living like in ghettos, in luxury, materialistic, and in these healing centers. Yeah, this is sort of the topic of this show, to be between these realities. It's like people live in different realities, but we are on the same planet.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that about how in higher spiritual or higher consciousness communities, because we understand that abundance comes from within and it's just reflected back with us to us and from the material. I think in that case, like that drives home a really important point that I don't really share often, but I do kind of like believe in, and that's that Bitcoin, at its core, is a transitional currency. So it's something that is helping us transition into this world of more abundance. And it's great that people in healing centers, right, and those who go to yoga retreats all the time and all of that, that they're moving, maybe faster if you believe in time, right? Maybe a little bit faster than everybody else. Maybe they're getting, into the abundance mindset a little bit easier. But for the rest of everybody, right, there needs to be some kind of anchor. And I remember specifically for me personally, when I got into Bitcoin, it grounded me. Like it was like, sit your butt down and hang out in the physical world. And for me, that was so new because, and mind you, I got into Bitcoin when I was like 26, 27, right? So For me, before that, my head was in the clouds. I was out there, doing magic, going on spiritual adventures, right? Like doing all this crazy stuff, living in this reality that was just basically like Harry Potter-esque, right? Still like getting my college done, still like doing the things that I need to do on Earth, but really just like kind of checked out of it all. And Bitcoin really, really grounded me and really like forced me to experience the physical world, forced me to be like more in my body, more in like obviously like financial planning, more in communicating with other people and going to conferences and speaking on stage and like doing all these things. So it's interesting to me, like from that experience, that I see Bitcoin as a transitional tool to get those who are super grounded and super in like earth reality, where it's just right, like you still have physical and spiritual, and they should be balanced like 50-50. But for people who are a little bit too grounded, right, and maybe people who are a little bit too out in the spiritual, it's kind of like that middle ground, right? But I do think because we are moving more towards that higher consciousness realms and that higher consciousness society, that eventually Bitcoin won't even be needed. But for that transition to happen for people who are way on the other side of the spectrum to kind of pass into this new organized, more energetic communities, right? It's a nice kind of transition. So I don't know if you agree with that or not.
For me, one of the most important things about Bitcoin is the decentralization. And I think this is a higher consciousness concept. It's like when you come to this, what I call Bitcoin consciousness, basically it means non-duality, right? So I see like fiat consciousness as duality, and then Bitcoin consciousness as non-duality. And decentralization is a characteristic of the Bitcoin consciousness, while hierarchies, pyramids, are characteristics of the control paradigm in the fiat consciousness. And that's also one thing that I say to like spiritual people, that we can't continue to have these hierarchies because it's actually duality. It's fiat consciousness, right? It's because everyone has equal access to the node. Everyone has a node, and no one is above anyone else. And as long as we keep on playing this game, like you are better than me and I'm worse, or the opposite in any way or form, that's how we stay in these lower frequencies in the fiat consciousness. So for me, yes, it's the money and it's the great flow of everyone in the world, but it's also this like, it's just bringing in this network of decentralization. And also Noster now, and it's like, and internet was a beginning of that. So internet was a beginning of that, then they try to fiatnize it. And then Bitcoin comes like, no, we need decentralization properly. And then Noster. For me, it's just like sign of the times. It's just that we get these technologies. It's that the sort of a external reflection of the higher consciousness that we are accessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the decentralization movement is really opening up these like new possibilities of how we just like all the way up to how we structure our society. But I definitely think that it's happening very naturally. Like we almost don't have to think about it too much or too hard because it's flowing exactly the way that it's supposed to, right?
Yeah, and that's where the force is comes in, right? Like why even use it? Let's just allow the flow.
Right, it doesn't make sense. It was I noticed that like during when COVID started, and I was like, at first I was like, wow, this is really messed up that people are just not seeing all of this fear propaganda, right? Like I'm like, wow, it's really setting people up for failure kind of. But like watching what happened during that time and everybody kind of, waking up and people having suddenly more time to research things, suddenly more time to be around their families and talking, right? Really led them to kind of opening up. I saw so many people, like to use the term, like wake up, right? So many people woke up to what was going on around them, to what was happening. They moved careers, completely quit like their life, changed everything about it, moved to new places, started new relationships. And it was interesting to watch like the governments try to, ex the more power and control they try to exert on the public, the more the public like turned away from that control and went and did the things that, that made them happy, that bettered their life, that made them more conscious, more mindful, more awake, more like loving towards people around them. And I know that the media portrayed it as everybody was like, screaming at each other in the streets about masks, but that's not what I was seeing. I was seeing people really like flourish and open up their new businesses and take risks and try new things. And it was really, really beautiful. And it, kind of confirmed to me that idea in practice that no matter how much control and fear these old legacy systems are trying to exert on us, like everybody's still going to move towards higher consciousness. Like it's inevitable, right?
Yeah, I agree. Higher consciousness and decentralization, it's also how we relate to each other, like in family and in like friends and business partners and everything. It's in the fiat consciousness, it was always conditional, right? It was like I'm friends with you if you're like this, if you stay like this, if you change, or if you're not like I think, then you're not friends anymore. So it was sort of based on these conditions, everything. But in the non-duality, Bitcoin consciousness, this decentralization really comes in as everyone is sovereign, and this gives this like unconditional love automatically. So it's like the pyramid systems made everyone attached to each other and dependent on each other and hold each other back. And then the Bitcoin consciousness is just opposite, because everyone is just their own sovereign being, doing exactly what they want, following their deeper purpose, and they're allowing everyone else to follow their deeper purpose.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Like, I feel that we are in a transition where we're just trying to figure out how that even worked. Like, how can we be friends without being attached? And it's amazing, awakening. Like, every encounter for me, it's a lesson in this. When old, like, fiat patterns come up, like, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. They can just be who they are, and I can be who I am. Wow, that's great.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm loving the Gnostic community too. It's just so beautiful. It reminds me of that kind of like beginning of Bitcoin community. Even though I only got in 2016, so it's like I'm not that, not that experienced. But even back then there were still Bitcoin faucets, right? And still like a lot of that sharing energy. And then I feel like during the 2017, 2018 like ICO, bull market, it kind of got like a little bit shut down, right? There was the fork, there was a lot of people arguing about, ICOs and shit coins and all of that. And so that kind of community like went away a little bit, or at least
Compartmentalized.
right? Then
Everyone
all
sort
of
of choose their side somehow.
and then all of a sudden Bitcoin maximalists were like the enemy. And all shit coiners were scammers, and we like fell back into that duality pattern, right? That, kind of like seeing every person for just the one quality that they have, not really paying attention to any of the other qualities that they had. And I still do agree that, this whole crypto thing is very, very scammy. And like you definitely like should not be doing it because it's this huge casino that kind of just makes everybody poorer. Like it does the opposite of what Bitcoin is trying to do. So I don't recommend, but it's also not very healthy to like demonize people completely for the choices that they make too, right? So now I'm kind of like seeing that community spring back up in Noster. Everybody's zapping each other, sending Satoshis, sharing the love, learning something new together, right? Because we're all learning how Noster works. And there's a lot of non-technical people like me on there who are like, wait, hold on. Like, I have to figure out how to download an APK file, or I need to figure out how to get a paid relay going, et cetera, et cetera. So that kind of like warm, beautiful, helping, high consciousness sharing, community is there again in Noster. And I'd like to see it last a little bit longer this time too, that we keep the flow going and we keep the love flowing freely. So it's a beautiful like network right now that I'm really excited about being a part of.
Yeah, when you were talking there, I could see this vision. It's almost like when the fork wars started, it was like the decentralization feeling, the higher consciousness vibe of Bitcoin sort of got broken with all these forks. Because before it was like, yeah, we have Bitcoin and it's decentralized, it's all is one, and then it's like, oh no, shit. All is not one. We have all these different choices now, and you have to take sides, and it sort of lowered in frequency in that sense. While Noster has very similar vibe, as you say, it's now everyone is on the same team again, and it's like, and it's not so much holding grudge against the old world so much either. So it's not even duality that way. It's just like, let's do this. Let's build and future, and everyone is on the same team. So we will see how that will develop.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, and it's almost like, like we kind of have personal lessons and like quote unquote tests. I don't like calling them that, but like, kind of like we experience something in our life and we're not really getting how to deal with it more consciously or more aware. So it keeps coming up in our life, and then finally like it clicks and we're like, oh, I shouldn't be dealing this with like anger and hate and fear. I should be dealing with this with love. And then all of a sudden like your entire perspective shifts, and then you don't ever encounter that type of situation again. So Bitcoin was kind of like our first little, like in our like big like online community, was kind of like a little bit of a test, like, hey, are you gonna fork? Are you gonna do this, right? And we've gone through that, like you said. And now all of a sudden it's Noster, we get this new opportunity, right? Like it's a kind of like a new technology, a new way to see, but the lessons are probably gonna be pretty similar. Like, is Noster gonna fork? Are we gonna like get into a huge fight about something there? Et cetera, et cetera. So it's interesting to see how we handle and like go through this learning experience together. And then I think next one will probably be like a more powerful form of AI that will probably be quite a test for our like entire connected community around the world. And then, and then something else and something else. And I think all of these experiences are there to kind of, help us to get to that next level, to those higher vibrations, to new ways of doing things, et cetera.
Yeah, but it seems a big hurdle for coming to the higher levels is this shift of understanding that we actually manifest inside and should allow the external reality to flow according to our blueprint. We need to change the blueprint and then allow the external world to just fall into place. I mean, it's always falling into place. It's just that we most of the time have a crappy blueprint, and that's why we need to use force to sort of try to fix it. So, as long as people try to fix their problems in the external world, they will always be limited by that because they just keep on creating more and more karma, so to speak. Because every time they do an action in the external world, you're sort of just cementing or solidifying these old patterns that have been in humanity for so long time. Because that's the other part of this podcast, right? It's like, so Bitcoiners interested in spirituality or maybe not interested in this. And this is the big thing, like if you should act on the outside or if you should improve your inner blueprint. Have you thought about that, or have, is this, do you discuss this with your Bitcoiner friends sometimes?
I definitely see a lot of like physicality and changing the outside world, but I think the Bitcoin community has kind of people have definitely embraced the whole living from within, right? Like there's always like jokes that the Bitcoin community is kind of cultish, which it like the way that I say it is everything is a cult. You either join a good one or a bad one. That's the really choice that you have, because everything is a cult. And the deeper you get down into any community, you can see a lot of like propaganda and maybe like a little brainwashing and et cetera, like you could see these patterns that maybe are a little bit too obsessive in a way, that where they stop being helpful and kind of start being a little bit hurtful. But Bitcoiners, like I think, are doing a lot of inside work as well. Like there's all these diet fads, right, of like getting your health better. There's a big movement for kind of men to take better care of themselves. There's a lot of now there's a lot of talk between the Bitcoin women, you know, like becoming more feminine and working on their femininity more, because the just the nature of like working in the Bitcoin business is so analytical and so masculine in some ways that us women sometimes get a little bit like lost in the energies and kind of end up being like overly a little bit overly masculine than we need to be, right? So I think all of that, like all of those experiences, kind of tie into the inner work aspect. So I think all is not lost, and definitely a lot of Bitcoiners look towards spirituality. A lot of Bitcoiners are looking towards Christianity at the moment. I'm noticing that trend quite a lot. But I think that actually one of the best ways to maybe kind of like connect the Bitcoin community more to those spiritual realms and more to that idea of changing things from the inside and letting the outside flow is getting the spiritual community into Bitcoin, right? Which is exactly what you're kind of doing with your podcast. Because I think the overlap is really fantastic. But I would see like the ones who are vibrating very highly, who are kind of like are learning, you know, all of these, gaining all of these spiritual and energetic tools, they're in a way the way showers, right? They're kind of the ones who are going along the path and, you know, cutting down all the, I don't know, bushes, right, from their machete and making the road of how to get to, you know, to nirvana, to enlightenment, to a better place of inner peace, et cetera. So I think if they just turn around a little bit and come back and they're like, hey, this Bitcoin thing is really cool. We understand that it's transitional. You know, this is how we do things. I think like in general, Bitcoiners would like jump right on that, right? Like the communities need to mesh a little bit more for the way showers to show the way, and for the ones who are still very physical to like see a different perspective play out. So I think a little bit of meshing of the two is just what the doctor ordered. So I'm really thankful that that's something that you're doing.
Yeah, cool. I agree that every community is a cult. I had many difficult experiences with groups, and what I ended up doing was to become sovereign, to not belong to any group. So, like, to be a sovereign soul and to not be attached to anyone or anything or any community. The funny thing is now that around this podcast, it's we are now building a community with people who feel the same. So it's like a sovereign soul community.
Yay.
So it's it will be, and because the focus is that everyone will want to be, and we, it's like connecting to your own node, right? Everything is like, yeah, we can be together and we can help and support each other, but everyone is their own node. So it's not about fitting in, it's not about following, and it's not about leading. I mean, only leading by being your true self. And then it's up to anyone else to follow. But if they follow, they should just think twice because they should just follow themselves, right? So maybe it is a third way. And this is a part of what I'm discovering now, this decentralization and how I can actually work with more people.
Yeah, it's definitely more about, I wouldn't even say leading, more about living by example. 'Cause this is one of those like anarchist principles too, right? How do we teach people more about anarchy, about being a sovereign individual? And to me, that feels more like of living your truth and living like embodying these principles in your own life. Because then all of a sudden, when you meet people who aren't exactly at that same place, instead of like they'll ask you, like, what are you doing in your life that is, that is really working for you? Like, why is your life so cool? Why is your life so great? Et cetera, et cetera. And then you can just tell them, like, these are the things that I'm doing on a spiritual level. These are the things that I'm doing on a physical level. These are the things that I'm doing with my energy. These are the communities that I'm hanging out with, et cetera, et cetera. And then if they want to follow that same path, if they're excited enough about, improving their life that way too, then they'll jump into it. They'll try it out. They'll go to that ecstatic dance class with you, right? They'll download that wallet of Satoshi, right? Like whenever I meet people, they're like, wow, like you're not working right now. You're living in the center of Moscow. Like, how are you doing all of this? And I'm like, well, I'm like, I got into Bitcoin a bunch of years ago. I worked my butt off. I really really worked for years, and then I finally got to a place where I can kind of like take a rest and figure out what I want to do next. And I have that freedom, because of all of these different things that I've been adding to my life, Bitcoin being, one of the main ones. So in that case, yeah, like leading by example, just showing people that there's a better way to live. And then they can do it too, that it's not really that hard. It's really not.
Yeah, suppose just stop acting from fear, basically. But that ecstatic dance, let's talk about that also. It's because it's connected with flow. How do you like it? How did you find it, and so on?
I absolutely love it. I feel like it's the kind of dance that I was looking for my entire life, except I didn't know that it existed until like the last year or so. So for me, it used to be really dungy basement raves and 6 a.m. drunk parties and sticky floor concert venues. Like it used to be all of that, like these places. And I mean, I enjoyed, the hell out of it. Like I enjoyed going to those dingy, dark places with all of the dark energy and the drug addictions and the alcohol and like all of that that came from. And I used to walk into it and I used to dance and I used to like let the light through. And it was all really beautiful experiences. But now I get to go to ecstatic dance and be completely sober and dance with people who are there kind of like for the same type of experience, for the light magic and the, bending of lights and the walking through portals and the moving energy, right? All of that together. And so we're kind of there for the same purpose and we're all sober, and that's quite a different experience from the, underground rave scene that I used to be so involved in. So to me, it's like my exercise, like weekly exercise. And just in general, I feel like it's making me energetically stronger. So I absolutely love it. I'm so glad I found this community.
Yeah, it's cool. You might also be interested in contact improvisation. Have you ever tried that?
No, I'm not a very contact like person. My sister goes to those, So this community in Moscow actually offers quite a lot of different things. Like I found a group of girls who go to sound healing meditations as well. That's really cool. They have like a little like club membership thing. I'm not in it yet, but my sister is. And so they were doing like English class, like an English class last night for everybody who's, knows the language, but maybe a little bit too afraid to speak it. Which I thought was really cool, right? And then they're doing like other little things. We're convincing them to do a little Bitcoin like learning session as well, so that me and my sister can go in and really show them. Because a lot of them do stuff by donation. And in Russia, there is this law that you cannot accept Bitcoin as payment for products and services rendered. And in that case, I feel like the only way to kind of get around that without putting other people at risk is through donation metrics, like through donation opportunities, in which case they can just put a QR code and be like, this is the amount that we recommend for our work. This is what we value our work at. If you would like to donate, you can just send Satoshis here. And that's, I think, would be a really nice way again to connect these two communities. So we're in the talking phases of kind of trying that out, and because people seem a little bit interested, so maybe.
Sounds really nice. The value for value concept. It's similar to donations. In Bitcoiners, we prefer value for value rather than donations. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I actually would not necessarily agree with that. I think yes, for sure, there's a lot of value for value ideas in there. But I mean, look at Nostr. People are just sending Satoshis to each other for, like a little cool post, and et cetera, et cetera. And value is very subjective. So in that case, like, somebody who just posts a really cool picture of Bitcoin that they made could get a couple of sats, and a lot of content creators don't necessarily get paid that much for their work, right? There's actually like quite a struggle with anybody who's writing articles, translating, writing really long posts, doing tutorial videos. There's quite it's quite difficult to like get people to think that as valuable enough to pay for, right? Like some people will do a Patreon, some people will have a successful YouTube channel, but that's not necessarily the majority of people who actually write really interesting things or draw interesting, cool things. So in that case, like I do think that Bitcoiners do have a little bit of a like a donation energy, and I think the fact that we have Nostr now, where we can just do that. Where we have a connection network, and then on top of that, a payment network that we can utilize. I think that donation energy is gonna keep flowing through, like keep increasing, and just like kind of like moving us towards that way. I don't think value for value will ever end, but I think it will be more flowy in that sense. So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
When we decided to have this conversation, we thought we should talk about some
The
multiverse. Yeah.
multiverse.
So let's do that now before. Do you want to start?
Well, I thought that the topic was interesting because that's kind of what I've been really, really into the last, I would say, like year and a half probably.
Yes, then we
And
want to hear about it.
yeah, I don't know how wild your podcast gets, but there was a trend on TikTok a couple of years ago about shifting realities. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I've heard a lot. I've been in this industry for more than 20 years, so I
Right.
don't think.
Yeah, so all the teenagers got back together and they're like, we can totally shift to Hogwarts, because some like African American creator, she like got that information from her grandparents or something like that, or maybe from like her like old culture, et cetera, and basically like came out with being like, yeah, you can actually like get your consciousness to move from this physical reality into a different body in another reality. And I was like, well, that sounds really cool. I'm like, I believe it, right? Because it doesn't sound too different from astral projection or lucid dreaming. To me, it makes like consciousness sense that if your consciousness leaves your body every night anyway, it's not weird for your consciousness to then kind of like click off or click on to a different experience, right? And I really kind of like saw it in my head. I saw the interconnectedness of how your full consciousness, right, has these kind of like points of light, like points of where it lives in a reality, like where it kind of like points into a body, right? Because we don't remember everything that our higher self does. Like we could remember some of our past lives, we could remember some past experience. There's a lot of like imprint of who we really are. We can make that connection stronger, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to remember every single detail of our entire, trillion year experience of existing. So in that case, I was like, okay. I was like, well, that kind of makes sense. So I started looking into the multiverse theory, and I just like I'm a little bit obsessed with the whole idea of being able to travel to different realities, of having multiple lives, I guess like realities and dimensions intersecting. The idea that we can like, I don't know, just the whole thing, just the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my experience from at this point is that we go through this kind of expansions and contractions, right? This consciousness. So I've experienced it that the expansion phase is now behind us. So that was sort of when my consciousness was just going out and experiencing lots of stuff in lots of different realities and lives and times. And now in this life, it's the contraction thing. So what I do now is, and all of these experiences comes up as projections in my physical life. So for example, when I'm talking to you now, I talk to you, but your voice and how you look like it triggers me. It reminds me of past experiences in different lives and different realities, or in this life, or whatever. So basically, I'm not talking to you, but I'm talking to everything that is triggered in me. That's my filters. I can't see you because I have several filters between me and you. And what then happens afterwards, a conversation like this, is that it starts to unravel because I know, in meditation, I know that my projections is not you. So then everything I thought was you is sort of coming up as realities. And then every filter is one experience somewhere. It's a sort of a distortion. It's the experience somewhere. So then you can say, but I'm staying in my room, but you can say that I go there in my imagination and I resolve that distortion. And then that filter is melting away and I'm restoring that frequency of myself. So it's like all of these frequencies has been out and doing all these experiences, which resulted in all these filters, which I am here in the physical body. I can now bring back these filters and resolve these experiences and restore everything. So I'm coming back to a point where I've gotten the experiences from the expansion, but I've solved all the distortions from those experiences. That's like where I'm going. That's where we all are going from my experience. Can you relate to that?
That's really interesting. I don't know if I can relate exactly, but like I'd have to think about it. I'd have to sit with it. But
Doesn't it
that's a
doesn't
really
fit with your theories that you read, or because it's similar to this film, Everywhere, All the Time, Everything, All at Once, what it's called.
Everywhere, every time, any something. I saw
Something
that.
like,
I thought the film was crazy.
because that's how I experience it. You know, you have your physical life, but it's all these different filters that actually is influencing how you interact with people. And when you sort out the filters in where they were created, then you see more and more their node. You see the true self. When you sort out all the filters, that's when you see. And that's sort of what happened in the movie, I think. You know, it's about solving all those parallel dimensions, so to speak.
Yeah, I just think of it as more of such a such a physical experience of like being in different realities that like, right? 'Cause there's like the multiverse theory and there's like the consciousness theory in shifting. And the multiverse theory says that your consciousness actually leaves your body and goes into another body and then lives that life physically. But then the consciousness theory really says that it's kind of all happening in our head, right? That we're just kind of like going into such a deep meditative state that we experience it within our consciousness, but not necessarily through a physical body, even though everything feels as real. So kind of like going into what they call a persistent realm within within lucid dreaming. So it's like as a part of a lucid dreaming experience. In which case I feel like the metaphor of filters would probably make more sense to me, but because I think of it as a very physical experience, it doesn't like the word filter doesn't really connect. But I think that if I think about it more, it probably would. That's why I'm holding off at the moment.
I think what it could be is that when what I've experienced is when we raise our frequency, then the imagination becomes more and more real. Like when we have a low frequency, the imagination feels very soft. But it's sort of that they sort of merge and the physical reality becomes much more soft, you know, because it's just flowing and flowing. And then in the imagination, not that I'm there yet, but it feels more and more like physical reality because you're so immersed in that imagination. And that could be a collective imagination, right? It's similar like what they do like with mass media. It's all a, how do you say, a collective illusion that people live in. So it's quite easy to create these parallel realities, I guess. It's just a few people that just believes the same thing, and it's a world, sort of.
I maybe like Bitcoin would be the place that I feel more like that, because I feel like my imagination in like the Bitcoin sphere is much sharper and much larger than maybe the rest of. I mean, I've been in here for like 5 6 years, so I guess it would take, you know, prime real estate within my reality. And so it's the easiest thing that I can connect with in the information field. So like when I get downloads, right? Or when I just like travel into the Akasha, if I'm thinking about Bitcoin, that is the easiest connection to make. Like the information automatically flows. But in maybe in other topics or other things, it's a little bit harder to break through or like to connect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think I feel that our listeners would like to hear more about these downloads and Akashic Records and how you do that. Could you explain that before we finish?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I guess for anybody who doesn't know what the Akasha is, it's basically like a like an energetic data library for all of the information on Earth. There's like different levels of the Akasha library. So there's like universal and galactical and et cetera. But the Earth Akasha basically holds the book of everybody who ever lived on Earth, their life, their death, every thought, word, and deed is written down in these kind of, you know, data centers. And then we can go and visit pretty much anytime that we want, as long as we can connect to that place and find that information or get information from there. And my whole family is like pretty good at doing it. My dad's like a basically like an Akasha pro. He just sits there and just the information comes to him at this point. And then he just like spits it out. My sister's really good at it too. And yeah, and like I said, like the Bitcoin connection for me is probably the easiest to get to. You almost like meditate into it, and you're kind of like there and here at the same time, probably. Like it would be subtle at first, right? But then just the when you feel like the words are flowing, or when you see the pictures, like right, like you're imagining the pictures in your head, and the words are kind of like coming out as you're describing this image, or you're hearing the information come in and you're just repeating it, right? Depending on what kind of, or you're feeling the information, you know it's true. And so you have no doubts about saying it out loud to somebody else. That's all us connecting to the information field and connecting to that information, and kind of like being the channels for all of that knowledge to pass through us. Gigi does this very well. That's why like his articles on Bitcoin as time, right, are so powerful, because they're coming straight from this information field into through him into these writings that then people who aren't necessarily connected at that time can still kind of like, you know, to still connect with the information in physical form. So I see a lot of people today being able to do it, and just anything that kind of feels correct and doesn't feel forced when you're trying to get the information out is usually something that's coming from that place. And once you like click into it, it's really cool. Like we just had a conversation the other night. It was one of my friend's birthdays. He's really upset about the whole ordinals deal on Bitcoin, the NFTs kind of like clogging up the nodes and taking, you know, space in the blocks instead of transactions, and kind of almost like spamming the network. So, and there's like another divide in Bitcoin right now, with some Bitcoiners being like, no, this is the most terrible thing. Like, we need to do something about it. We need to code and close the exploit and just stop people from doing this. And there's another side that kind of is like, well, we don't really like it, but we feel like it's kind of maybe a fad. Maybe like people will like play around with it for a little bit and then kind of stop. We're not too worried about it. Bitcoin can be anything. And so like I'm seeing like a little bit of a divide between these two. So obviously, because the collective is kind of thinking about this specific topic, it was even easier to kind of connect to the information field. And while me and my friend were talking, this like whole like metaphorical picture opened up, and I could not stop talking. It was just like coming out, like flowing. I was like seeing all of these connections between different things. I compared it to like there was an entire like really like long like 30 minutes metaphor of how the ordinals are kind of acting like little viruses, right? And how an immune system would deal with that, how you just like see the pictures of interconnectedness between something nature like a virus, to something that, you know, works in programming and Bitcoin, to something that, you know, you could like, when the metaphors flow and you can see the connections between different topics, but that the patterns of their functionality are the same. I feel like that's when you know that you're truly like connected to the reality around you.
I think this comes back to where we started with, like, the Bitcoin blockchain and whether we should use force to change it or not. You know, and it's like if we do too many changes, it's a risk that we interfere with the natural flow and the high frequency that it has.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you there. I think we should be careful how much we meddle, because we absolutely, like, by our human nature, we absolutely run the risk of becoming the controllers that we are trying to, you know, to stop from controlling everything. And so it's definitely an inner journey of understanding when to stop, right? When to kind of self-correct. When to do all these things, and we have to do it as a community, because if all of a sudden, right, we're the next Ethereum chain, where we're rolling back the blocks to make sure that no monkey pictures get in there, we really risk the you know, losing the entire Bitcoin ethos within our community. And like that kind of worries me a little bit, right? Like don't want to fear monger, but it kind of worries me that if Bitcoin fails, if this iteration of Bitcoin fails, when the next iteration of that type of, that type of tool will come about. Because we do have the power and the possibility of kind of ruining it. Like we're
Yeah, I
not always,
think
great.
if we are, if we are ignoring any fears, then we are not doing us any favors. We need to look. So don't worry about fear mongering. We just look at it. And it could be even that the possibilities of this, what's happening now, could have been done because of one previous control action on the blockchain. That's what some people say. I'm not sure about that. Maybe it was this possibility was included in the original, but some people say it was included by one of those sort of implementations that was maybe created out of fear, out of force, like.
Fear and force kind of spiral very quickly out of control. So it's always, and that's why the metaphor of the virus, right? Like when you get sick, do you just stamp out the sickness right away? Like, do you take all of the vitamins and drink all the vitamin C and take good food and go to sleep and hope that tomorrow it doesn't get worse? Or do you kind of just like mope around and continue doing whatever it is that you're doing? And then 3 days from then you have a high fever and now you have to like burn off the infection, and take all this new medicine and add more pills to your system that now aren't so natural, but now that are pharmaceutical, right? Or do you kind of like get sick and not really do anything about it and just let the sickness run its course and hopefully it's not so bad that it kills you, but but it makes you kind of rest for a couple of days. So that there's like all of these possibilities of when you're faced with something that might be destructive, right? Do you nip it in the bud? Do you kind of let it play out its role? Or do you go hard on it and try to like control and stamp it out with everything that you can possibly throw at it? And those are real choices that I feel like we have to make in the Bitcoin community right now, and with these ordinals. But it's definitely a decisions that we have to like kind of make in our real life all the time too. So I guess we'll see which way the community goes. I'm really curious. I would love my friend to write an article about this because I'm not really in a writing mood at the moment. Maybe I should just like bite the bullet and do it. But I think it's a really interesting way to look at the problem and kind of point out the different options that we have for decision making. So yeah, will it be more flow or will it be more control, and how will that affect our ecosystem down the road too?
Thank you very much for contributing all your ideas here today and taking the time.
You're
Was really
welcome.
nice to talk to you. Interesting to hear your ideas and perspectives on everything.
Yeah, you as well. You've really like I've been very like 3D-ish recently because I'm dealing with some like subconscious stuff. So like the coming back out into higher levels of consciousness is like such a nice break from what I've been dealing with.
Good, good.
So thank
Yeah.
you for that.
The flow always brings this win-win situation. It's when we don't control, it just ends up in a good place. So let's stop there.
Cool. Thank you for having me.